Thank God for the day that Jesus passed by my way. Amen. Thank God for the day that when I was sitting and I felt like nobody cared and I had nobody to talk to, amen, Jesus came by my way and He made a difference in my life, transformed me, changed me for all of eternity, and I'll never, never, never be the man that I used to be. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. My kids will never have to come home to a drunk daddy. Amen. They don't wonder where I'm at night. Amen. They never have to see daddy beating on mama. Amen. They never have to see. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. He's worthy tonight. Amen. For all of the praise and all of the glory and all of the honor that we can offer Him. Aren't you glad tonight that one day when you were where you are, Jesus came by your way? Amen. I'm thinking about some people tonight that might be here, amen, lost and undone without Jesus Christ. Amen. Just playing the part. I want you to know that God can save you tonight. God can come by your way tonight. Amen. And make your life different. Well, there's been some, I don't understand all that I go through. That I can look back and I've been saved now for 12 years. And it doesn't amount to much, but I've been preaching now for 11 years. And I can look back just in that short period of time. There's some times when it just different, it seems like seasons, different time periods in my life when things are going on and it's just different. And sometimes I don't understand all that God's allowed me to go through. Sometimes I believe God has to allow us to learn about ourselves. Somebody told me right before I turned 30, they said you'll spend all of your 30s just figuring out who you are. And I'll be honest with you, he wasn't very far off. And you know what I find out? The more I get to know me, the less I like me. But amen, but the more I get to know myself, the more I realize that it's not about me anyway. It's not about what I can do. It's not about my ability. It's not about the way that I can speak. It's not about my charisma. It's about the touch of an almighty God. Amen. It's not about my education. It's not about what I got. Amen. But it's about what He's done for me and what He will do with me. Amen. It's about Him. It's all about Him. Amen. Tonight. Amen. But there's times I feel like a failure. And I look around and I throw myself a pity party and I say, God, what have I done? I don't see any results in all the labor and the time that we've tried to put into this thing. I really don't see where we're getting anywhere. And I feel like I've let God down. And then I was studying for a message at the beginning of the week that I thought I was going to preach tonight. And I began to study about how, amen, to get up from a failure. Because the Bible says the just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Now, nobody has to learn how to fall. But everybody has to learn how to get up. Amen. There's not one of you, including myself in here, that's not done some things that you'd like, even since you've been born again, that you wish were erased off of your record. Amen. Let me rephrase that. That you're glad that's been erased off of your record. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good. There's not a one of us in here that's not failed God and looked back and say, what in the world was I thinking? But then I got to studying and I got to realizing that all the way back to the first one, Mr. Adam failed God. Moses failed. Now he was the meekest man in the earth. Amen. How many of you know anybody that was used any greater than Moses? Led at least 2 million people through the wilderness, led at least 2 million people out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. Amen. And when it come time to speak to the rock, he smote it. He failed God. Amen. I could go through the Old Testament and list others that failed God. Boy, you remember David? a man after, I might as well should have went ahead and preached that other message. Hey, you remember David, a man after God's own heart. Hey, you know what that means? That means he desired for everything about himself. He desired for his heart to crave and to love everything that God's heart craved and loved. He didn't want anything wicked. He didn't want any, but you know what I found out? There was a day when it was time to fight and David didn't feel like fighting. And he sent Ammon, I believe it was, in his stead to go and do his job. And he let down on his responsibilities. And he saw Bathsheba there. And the next thing you know, guess what? David failed God. And instead of getting right with God, David tried to cover it up. Then David failed God again in murder. And it wasn't until Nathan approached David and said there was, and he gave him a parable. And David said, whoever that sorry rascal was is going to die. And Nathan said, you're the one. And you know what, David failed God. I remember in the New Testament, Peter, you tell me somebody that preached, amen, in one day have 5,000 converts. You tell me somebody that preached with the power of God, amen, that when he just walked by, amen, people got healed. But I remember a day when Peter failed God. Hey, you tell me anybody in the New Testament beside the Lord Jesus Christ that was used any greater than the Apostle Paul. But there in Romans chapter number 7, we find him writing down that the things that I would do, I do not. And the things that I would not do, I find myself doing. And he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He was a failure. He called himself, when he referred to himself, he didn't call himself the great almighty Apostle Paul. He didn't call himself the greatest preacher outside of the Lord Jesus. These are titles that we've given him. But the title that he gave himself was the chiefest, the top, the worst of all sinners. And you know what I figured out? I'm in pretty good company. That's right. Amen. If God can use him, then God can use me. Hallelujah. John chapter number 5. Is this mine? I hope it's mine. I thought all week I was going to preach out of 2 Samuel till this morning. Brother Tim was preaching. Boy, he preached this morning. Son, he delivered the gospel this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, aren't you glad you youngins get to come up and hear the gospel. Yes, sir. Boy, I heard my little boy the other day. I don't even know where he's sitting. Was sitting back there, 4 years old. Amen. Singing songs about the Lord. You know how come he was doing that? He was just echoing what he's been told. Now, that ain't all he echoed, but we won't get into that. Amen. But hallelujah. He's been watching. He's been over at my mother-in-law. I'm just kidding. Amen. Boy, aren't you glad we have a good time. I'm just kidding. Lord, I hope you got some leftovers tonight. Well, ain't God good. John chapter 5. I preach a message. I feel like God's touched our hearts. When I preached before, maybe stuck a little bit to our outline tonight. It's been a while since we preached it, and I prayed all afternoon asking God, and I really just struggling trying to find the mind of God, but I believe somehow or another tonight we'll go this way and just trust it's the Lord's will. chapter 5, verse number 1. After this, well, that'd be enough preaching for some people, wouldn't it? I don't know what you're going to, but it's going to be after this one day. Amen. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on that same day was the Sabbath. Now I want to look at this picture just for a few minutes, and I want to look at a few things here and make an application, and we'll be done. But if you would, just use your imagination with me, and let's try to go to Bethesda and just try to look at the surroundings. And I see Brother Gary nodding, and he and I have talked about this passage, and you just forget everything you learned about this passage, and I'll show you how it's really. I'm just kidding. I told him I wish he hadn't told me about messed up my preaching. But anyways, we'll try to go and just find out something God's got for us here this evening. Now at Bethesda, at the place of Bethesda, I want us to notice just the things that are present there. At number one, there was a pool at Bethesda. Now I'm not a rocket scientist, but I know what a pool is. It's a small body of water. Amen. It's just a little body of water, and there's nothing special about a pool. Amen. But this pool had a special name. It was called the House of Kindness. It was called Bethesda, which means the House of Kindness. And I do know where kindness comes from. Amen. It was a special pool. Amen. But also about this pool, it was located, if you'll read, right beside the sheep market. Now, I have never raised any sheep, but I have been next to some sheep farms. And I know a little bit about animals. When you get a whole bunch of them in one place, they stink. Have you ever been around a bunch of animals when it was raining and muddy and nasty? Amen. It don't sound like a real fancy place, do it? And when you downwind of I don't know what has happened in my life, but 4 out of the last 5 houses I have lived in has been only one barbed wire fence away from a cow pasture. And trust me, you can tell which way the wind is blowing when you live one barbed wire fence away from a cow pasture. Amen. And I don't know, but just a little bit, when the wind was blowing the right way, amen, they knew if they were at the pool, they knew that they were just a few feet away from the sheep market. Amen. What's your point? My point is, it wasn't a real fancy place. It wasn't anything spectacular. Well, aren't you glad God doesn't have to have anything spectacular to get the job done? Hey, God don't have to have something fancy to get the job done. Hey, God can use, hallelujah. Let's keep going. Not only was there a pool, but there was 5 porches surrounding the pool. Now, you know what a porch is, but I'm going to give you a definition anyhow. It said a structure supported by columns, arches, and it may have been or possibly covered. Now, what that means is there was 5 porches. I ain't real smart, but I know this much. I hadn't ever seen a porch just grow up out of the ground. Somebody, somewhere, with enough knowledge and enough skill, somehow or another, decided that what was going on down at the pool, amen, was important enough to invest some labor and invest some time, amen, so that when people came, they would have a place to go. And so they built some porches. Now, we're going to get to the application in a minute, amen, but they built some porches. Also, there were some people. The Bible said that there was a multitude. The porches were full. They were all waiting. And I believe, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but also it was not only full, but it was full of people that couldn't help themselves. They were diseased people. It was blind people. It was lame people. It was people, amen, that needed a touch from another world. Amen. Also, when it talked about these impotent folk, it said the word folk means a boy or a girl, a slave or a servant. Amen. What's your point? The point is boy, girl, man, woman, rich, poor, amen, famous, or a nobody, if you had a problem, you could come to the pool at the time of the troubling of the water, and if you'd get in, you could be made whole. Amen? Hallelujah. These people's condition made the place a depressing place. Now, only if you had a special grace about you. Have you ever been to a place that's covered and filled with people of this condition? We live in it. And if you spend enough time out in the world, you'll find out it's depressing. Amen. Of the depravity and the sin, diseased people that live around us. Amen. But aren't you glad there's a place they can go? Amen. But the condition of these people's heart made it a place of hope. Not only were they sick and lame and diseased, but they were laying in wait. They were waiting. They knew that if they could just get to the water, they knew that there was a cure for their disease no matter what, if they could just get in. And you could see the hope on their faces. Amen. And then there was an appointment. Now, I don't know much about angels, but I know that angels get their charge from the Lord. Amen. They get their charge. They get their instructions from God Almighty. And I really don't understand all about this pool, but I understand that it was an angel at a certain season would trouble the water. And it's only during the moving, amen, when God sent a moving of the troubling of the water, that was the only time, amen, you could get in the pool and get what you needed. You couldn't just walk up to the pool any day or any time and jump in on your own. It had to be under divine appointment of God Almighty at the moving of the water, amen. That was the only time you could get in. It was a divine appointment. It's a heavenly appointment. It started in the heart of God. But I want us to look at the picture. I want us to make an application. I want us to go back and look at that pool. See, that pool's a picture of salvation. Amen. Has there ever been a place in your life when you got in something and you came out fixed? Amen. Has there ever been a time in your life when after the troubling of the water or the stirring of the Spirit, amen, the wooing of the Holy Ghost of God, somebody somewhere told you that if you could just get to this place, if you could just get to this person, if you could just get to here, amen, you could be made whole. Amen, it's a picture of salvation. Amen, when those people went in the pool and when they came out, they were different. Hey, if you're looking for a change tonight, I'm telling you there's a place that you can go. Rather, there's a person that you can meet. If there's a need in your life, no matter what it is, Jesus, amen, will be your pool of Bethesda. Jesus will be your house of kindness. Jesus will make the difference in your life. Amen. Hey, and guess what? You remember we was talking about those people and he called them folk. That means boy, girl, man, woman, rich, poor, amen, famous, or a nobody. whether you're a teenager, whether you're a senior citizen, whether, hey man, if you've got a desire to be saved, if God is working in your heart, hey man, you can come to Him and get changed. Hey man, God's not a respecter of person. He shed His blood for the multitudes of the world. Hey man, you can come to Him. Boy, I believe God, hey, somebody might need to get saved tonight. I feel a little tug at my heart tonight. Somebody might need to get in tonight. Somebody might need to get down and meet Jesus tonight and leave just a little bit different than when you came. Boy, if God was dealing with my heart, I wouldn't put it off another day. You see, the troubling of the water only took place when God designed it. You say, I don't need to get saved tonight. I'll get saved there. I'll get saved later. You might not ever get another chance. And I'm not trying to scare you. I don't know. All I know is that Jesus said, except for my Father which is in heaven and sent me, draw you. Amen. You can't come unto Him. Amen. It's only under the divine appointment of the wooing of the Holy Ghost of God, when God is dealing with your heart, that you can get born again. That's right. You don't just jump in whenever you want to. But it's only when God is dealing with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Then there's the porches. I believe the porches are a picture of two things. Number one, there was five of them. It was a picture of grace. Boy, aren't you glad for the grace of God, somewhere you can get in at. God, hey man, I didn't get in because I deserved it. I guarantee you I didn't deserve it, and I still don't deserve it. Amen. I don't deserve to be standing here tonight, but by the grace of Almighty God. Amen. I was thinking this afternoon, Lord, I don't even deserve to call on your name. Amen. But by the grace of Almighty God. Hey, if you ever got in, I assure you it was because of the grace of Almighty God. Amen. If you need to get in, it'll only be by the grace of God. But also, I believe, these porches are a picture of the church. You see, I don't know, maybe somebody who had been in the pool before decided there needed to be a place that when people came to the pool, they'd have a place to get in. You see, amen, this thing, our church or a church, doesn't just happen. But some people who's been in the pool before, amen, who's got enough knowledge and has got enough wisdom and has enough desire that they'll spend and labor and work and, amen, and toil, amen, and pray and sweat and cry, amen, and hallelujah, they'll do the work. That when sinners want to come get in the pool, they'll have a place to go. Amen. And on the side of Old Furnace Road in Bowling Springs, South Carolina, amen, there's one of those porches, amen, that surrounds the pool of the House of Kindness, that if you want to get into the pool and get born again, you can come walking across the porch, amen, and meet Jesus at the altar. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad that some people cared enough? Amen. Hey, I'm glad some people cared enough before me. Amen. That when I came through the doors, there's a place to get in. Hallelujah. Amen. But there's one final thing. Because when Jesus walks up, he doesn't see the whole multitude. Jesus doesn't even mention the multitude. But Jesus sees one. You say, how am I going to win the multitude just like Jesus did, one at a time? That's right. You can't win 5,000 at one time, but you can tell one. Hey, you might not can't even grasp how many people are in our community, but you can tell one. Hey, I don't even know how many people are in the surrounding community, but you can get a burden for one. Amen. And it's that, you say, where do I start? Start with that one. I believe with all my heart, if we'll allow God to put a burden for somebody on our heart, when we try to look in our minds and through the multitude, there'll be one that comes forward and will know where to start. Amen. But Jesus finds this man and he said, sir, wilt thou be made whole? And he replied with he gave him a sad answer. He said, I have no man. Nobody to help me. Now, can you get the picture now? Now, I don't know how long he'd been on the porch, but it said he's been in this shape for 38 years. He'd been sick 38 years. Somehow or another, somebody came and told him, if you could just get down to Jerusalem at the pool of Bethesda, if you could just get there and wait on the troubling of the water and get on in, amen, when you get in, when you come out, you'll be different. And somebody took him, or somehow he got there, but when he got there, every time the angel came and troubled the water, something, he was so bad off that people were beating him to the water. They were stepping over him. They were stepping around him. He couldn't get in. But what he didn't know is he didn't really need the pool anyhow. What he didn't know is the pool had came to him. Amen. And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. Amen. Jesus healed him. Jesus fixed him. Hallelujah. I want to challenge you tonight. If you're lost, let me just say this. Me and my little girl was in the car going down the road the other day, and this fella was kind of beside us, and he had this on his on the back of his window. You remember when everybody had the stickers that said no fear. Well, he had something similar. I believe it sort of meant the same thing. It said all souls are not lost. I hope nobody in here believes that. I hope nobody's teaching that. If you've not been born again, there's only one place. There's only that you're on your way to hell. All souls without Jesus Christ are lost. And I personally don't believe I really don't believe there's a particular age to where people come to a accountability. I believe it's different with everybody. That's my personal, that's the way I feel. I believe it's a knowledge of accountability. You say, what does that mean? If you're able to understand that you're a sinner, that you've offended God Almighty, that you've broken His commandments, that you've sinned before God, if you're able to understand that, if you're able to understand that Jesus Christ was a real person, amen, that he was part of the Godhead and He died for your sins, He poured out His blood to pay for your sins, and He died, and on the third day He got up. Amen. And if you're able to understand that, if you can put faith in Him and call on His name and repent of your sins, I believe you're ready. I believe you can get saved. Amen. You say, how? I don't know. I believe if you can understand, if you know that you're condemned, I believe you need to get saved. Hey, don't wait. Get saved. But for those of us that's been born again, when we look across a multitude, it's real easy to get lost in the multitude. It's real easy to just think about Jesus died for the world, and we see the community and we see people going by all over the place. But if we'll take time and just let God put one in our heart and start with that one, there's people sitting out there that want to be saved. There's somebody. I heard somebody say the other day, it's not like it used to, and it may not be. I don't know that we may not have the move of God in this area like we, I don't know. But I know this, Jesus hasn't come back yet. Somebody somewhere wants what's right. Amen. Amen. Somebody is hungry for a change. Somebody behind one of those doors that we knock on, or standing beside one of those cash registers that we go to, amen, somebody somewhere has a desire in their heart for something different, amen, and we've got what can make a change in their life, amen. God, help us to be faithful to spread the good news of the gospel to those around us that are dying and going to hell. Amen. Preacher, I'm through. But if you just think this evening about that one, I said, sir, I have no man. Boy, Jesus is able. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Lord, I confess myself not worthy to stand here tonight, but you give us grace, and I want to give you glory. God, you're so good to us. You're the only true living and wise God. There's nobody like you. God, if there's somebody here tonight that's lost, Lord, I beg you, Lord, to pull on their heartstrings, convict them, make it real to them. God, make Jesus real to them, Father. God, and show them the way to be born again, Lord. Lord, and I pray you'd help us in Jesus' precious name. Amen.